Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
A naked man has few secrets. A flayed man, none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Quite the win by the LSU basketball Tigers. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Thursday morning sports chat. Week goes by fast when you get a day off. Happy Mardi Gras. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios, and give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 706-0111, 706-0111, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. LSU just doesn't give up. And sorry, LSU fans, to borrow Robism, but can we find a team that is more weathered than LSU basketball? I mean, do we want to just go down the list off the top of our heads?
They've played in the most overtime games this season of any Division I team.
I mean, they got to be close to history.
It was tied with one other team, I think, and maybe that game last night put them over in the first or something. It's crazy.
It is nuts. And the reason their net is not where it should be is because net takes basically how much you win into consideration. How much you win by into consideration. So that's the issue for LSU basketball, when they really should be, you know, a top 10 team in the net ratings. And they were ninth in the, you know, press ratings or coaches ratings. But in the net, they're not quite up there yet. Like when you beat a Charleston 67-55, that doesn't help your case. All right. Even a Grambling 78-57. You hammered Incarnate Word. You did lose to Houston, which is not a bad loss. But you beat St. Mary's 78-74 out in Vegas. Right? Furman, you actually a pretty good win because they were ranked at the time. 77, and we'll try that again, 75-57. But you had a tough time against Alabama at home. You did beat Arkansas on the road in one overtime. You had a good second half against Ole Miss. You kind of hammered South Carolina at home. Georgia was a nondescript win. That's been the most upset that Will Wade's been throughout the year. Missouri was, you know, pulled that out of their backside, overtime number two. Trey Waters saved them against A&M. They lost at home to Arkansas by one, still weathered. Mississippi State, a four-point win in Starkville, and wait for it, overtime. Get past Auburn at home, down 26-10, and end up with a 10-point lead, hang on for a five-point victory. You get the two-point win, controversial or not, over Kentucky. Four-point win over Georgia. Lose at home in OT to Florida. Tennessee is a two-point win at home. A&M, kind of a lackadaisical effort, win by 11. Bama, a hard five-point win on the road. And an overtime victory against Florida last night. And again, a couple of things that I just had never seen. I'll be honest with you. Cody, I've never seen a point guard lose the ball like Trey Waters did. Let me see the play-by-play, if we can find out the play-by-play when that turnover was. Because if that's just a regular play, right, and the clock was, what, 28 seconds, 29 seconds when they took the ball out of bounds after that dunk. If he just goes to the basket and misses, they're up three. He doesn't even have to make it, doesn't even have to get fouled. But there's no dunk on the other side, right? They're down three. They got to hustle up and score. I've really never seen such a play. Let me see when the play-by-play has it that he turned it over. 33 seconds. So take another 5 seconds off of that play before even Florida gets it back. It's now 28 seconds, and they're down three. Instead, there's a dunk on the other side, and were you listening to the game, Cody? You could see this one coming, right? Well, I wouldn't want anybody other than Skylar Mays at the free throw line. Hasn't missed tonight, over 80%. I mean, we all said it. Watch him miss. We all said it at the same time. We all knew he was going to miss it. Carl Ravitch, that's your fault.
Blame you.
We knew it was coming.
He didn't even use the phrase, wouldn't want anybody else at the line.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Cringe.
No, knew that was going to happen. And then, I don't mind the Will Wade idea of going 1-3-1. What I do mind is the defense not over towards Hudson, who's already scorched it for almost 30 points. Didn't they say this guy averages less than 10 a game? Didn't they say he's had more points in the second half than he has in a game this year?
He scored 16 points in a row.
Yeah. So I don't mind the 1-3-1, and it did seem to confuse Florida for a little bit, but I'm shading over to Hudson. If I give an alley-oop dunk or a three-pointer to somebody else, so be it. A, if I give up an alley-oop dunk, I can still go win the game. I'm only down one. But I'm not allowing Hudson to beat me. And he got a wide open shot. 33 points. But Trey Waters, who again, oddly enough, Cody, did not start. That was a little bit strange. Did not start, but still played 35 minutes of the game. And he was really spectacular down the stretch, let's be honest. Did he miss a couple shots? You bet. Did he turn it over? Yeah. I saw that one bad skip pass, but that was like at the beginning of the second quarter. Or the second half, I should say. He's 8 of 16 from the floor, 19 points. Did have 6 turnovers. That can't work. 6 assists, 3 steals, and even 3 rebounds. Emmett Williams off the bench, which was a little bit surprised he wasn't in the ball game at the end of the game, Cody. Why was he not, when they said, I don't know if they wanted shooters or they're telling me that the big team is in there, and it's like, no, not really. Yeah, it's Smart, Mays, and Taylor in the game. Actually, it was Smart, Mays, and Waters in the game. Taylor may have been in the game, too. But you had Reed and Bigby there as well. I probably have 6 players on the court right now. Oh, well. But Emmett Williams was not on the court when they said this. And he shoots free throws 3 of 4 last night. 14 rebounds, 13 points. That's a spectacular ball game. And it's honestly, I should have tweeted it out to Carl Ravitch and Andy Kennedy, former Ole Miss coach. Boy, we haven't heard any conversation about LSU being a number one seed. And Andy Kennedy goes, if they win out, they'll be a number one seed. That may or may not be the case. But someone was talking about being a number one seed, Cody, right?
Who
was talking about being a number one seed once, and the thing that put a little wrench into it was the loss to Florida. But we said, you know, they beat, was it the game before Florida? At home.
Alabama?
It was after they beat Kentucky. They beat Kentucky, they were going to be favored in every single game that they had left, especially after Kentucky destroyed Tennessee the first time. Second time it was vice versa, but they each won at home. But then they stubbed their toe against Florida, and they came back to somehow, you know, Naz Reid, 1-point ball game. Waters didn't play because he was sick. They pulled that one out. Then I said, if they win out and they win 1 ball game, I thought they'd be a 2 or 3 seed. You know, if they get to the semis, they're going to be a 2 or 3 seed at worst. And if they get to the championship game, they should be a 2 seed. If they win it, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because Tennessee and Kentucky are going to play again. And if somehow, you know, they beat one of those two teams again, that's their 3-0 against Kentucky and Tennessee. How do you put Kentucky and Tennessee? I don't care what the rest of the resume is. How do you put Kentucky or Tennessee at a number one seed and they're 0-2 against LSU? So the net ratings haven't come out yet. They are through games of March 5th. I don't know what time they come out. Where do we think the RPI is? Because LSU, again, if you were listening to this show, we said it. Let's see here. RPI, LSU is ninth. They were 11th going into the ballgame. Somehow Kansas is still number one. And did they just lose? They just lost. Oh, well. Houston's ahead of them. They just lost. Kentucky's ahead of them. Tennessee, Carolina, Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, Kansas. That's pretty good. Kansas with eight. How is Kansas with eight losses number one? Eight. I get the whole schedule thing, but.
They won't win the Big 12.
For the first time in 14 years.
100 years, yeah, doesn't matter. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Duke's got four. Virginia's got two. Gonzaga's got two. Carolina's got five. Tennessee, three. Kentucky, five. Houston, two. LSU, five. Michigan, four. Michigan State, six. You don't get to five. You don't get to eight until Purdue. Texas Tech's got five. Florida State's got six. Nevada's got three. Cincinnati, four. K-State, seven. I mean, now you're in the high teens, and yet Kansas is number one. I don't get it. I get the strength of schedule, but somewhere along the way, you got to win the ballgames. So we'll see where the net ratings are with LSU. But why they're not considered a Final Four team, I don't know. Duke is not a Final Four team without Zion Williamson. I'm sorry. They won't win four games without Zion Williamson. And we'll see how much Zion Williamson plays. He's got one more game against Carolina in the regular season, then the ACC tournament, and then, you know, the NCAA tournament. So he's still got 2 weeks from today, at the earliest, that the NCAA tournament would start for Duke. And it may not start until 2 weeks from tomorrow. So he's got time to go, and that's got to be about a month since he's been hurt, right? So we'll see if he comes back. Duke is not, all right? If Virginia shoots like they did against Syracuse, ain't nobody beating them. But here's the thing. They ain't going to shoot like that again. At one point in time, they were 15 of 21 from threes. They average eight threes a game. So if they start making 12 to 15 threes a game, Virginia will be your national champions, but they ain't going to do that. I guarantee it. They ain't going to do it for six ball games. The only problem that LSU has, and it continues to be a bugaboo, and it's been that way from the get-go, they struggle from three-point land. That's a big issue for LSU. Not awful last night, but right around the season average, 6-19, 31%. And Trey Waters made a huge three. Wide open, but he wasn't exactly up against that line either. Jamonte Smart, 3-7. Skylar Mays had an off game. 1-6 from three. Only 3-11 from the floor. Still had 11 points. Missed a costly free throw. But I think this LSU team needs to get in a conversation for Final Four. But because they're not a blue blood, because they're not Kansas, Duke, I guess Virginia, Carolina, Michigan State, they don't get that respect. But no other team can be weathered like this team. They don't panic and they don't quit. Go back and watch that last layup by Trey Waters. I thought he was going to do a crossover dribble, and he was going to his left and just went right past him. He just went right past him. He crossed over once. I thought he was going to do it again. You know, and break some ankles, but he just scooted right past him. There was no help defense there. I would have, you know, up two? Yeah, I'm not going to let him have a layup, right? Now, you don't want to, you know. Intentional foul is not going to matter much with a half a second left, but you want to make sure that you don't foul a man that goes in. But I'm going to make sure it's not going to go in. You know. All right, LSU with a big win over Florida, 79-78 in OT. They're as much a Final Four contender as anybody else. All right, back after this, more Sports Chat, 103.7 The Game. right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Thursday morning sports chat. The big guy, Gerald Gruning, joins us at 7. My buddy Josh Friedman from WQAM in Miami joins us. Danny Broussard, STM, routed U-High yesterday. I mean, blew them out. U-High made a run in the second quarter, but I tuned it back in the third, and it was like they were playing Arkansas or something like that, or UNLV. It was turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover. Layup, 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 layup. So good job by Danny Broussard and the Cougars. They take on De La Salle 2 p.m. on Saturday. You can hear that on 103.7, or actually on 97.7 and 1330 a.m. Sorry about that. All right. 70601-11. 70601-11. We do have some bad news that came out yesterday. We got a phone call here, so we may have to wait to hear that. Cajuns with a nice win last night. As soon as I said save some runs for the weekend, McNeese scores like 8 in the sixth. Took like 4 pitchers to get out of the sixth inning. Cajuns were leading 11-1. Maybe the bat's coming around? Maybe? You got a phone call?
We do. Mike is on the line.
Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on the ARCO Equipment Hotline.
Oh, what you say, Dave?
How we doing?
Oh, good, man, good. Man, I just wanted to say, man, if Will Wade don't win Coach of the Year for NCAA, I mean, I don't know what the committee wants, man. Especially, do they do it after the conference tournaments?
They do, but he's not even a semifinalist. He didn't make the top 15.
What? Oh, my. That is a travesty.
It is
that
a travesty.
Is as much of a travesty, as
travesty
when Christian McCaffrey didn't win the Heisman his sophomore year. That is a joke. Absolute joke.
It is a joke. I don't know if he'd win it. I would think that Calvin Sampson is probably going to win it. But, yeah, he certainly should be in the conversation. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they're going to be SEC champions. No one picked them. Let's see where the preseason LSU preseason was. He should definitely be on the conversation.
Yes, and I mean, he don't even have like a big time superstar on his team. I mean, Tremont is our best player, but he's up and down, you know. So
right,
I mean,
right.
It's like that's just absolutely ridiculous, man. Absolutely ridiculous. But that's all I wanted to say. Schultz, you have a good day, Mac.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. All right. Yeah,
you hear the hurt in that man's voice.
He's a little bit upset.
Mike,
and that's
I feel for you, Mike, like having to hear he didn't even make the final 15, much less the like that guy that I don't know if there's an award ceremony where they
Musselman,
hand it out.
The former LSU coach, Nevada's going to get some votes. Nate Oates from Buffalo, Wofford,
the Tennessee coach,
you know, the Tennessee coach, Rick Barnes, obviously. LSU was picked 6th in the preseason poll.
You look dumb, and you look dumb, and you
6th.
I'm going to say that now because they went undefeated on the road, and that writer looks dumb, and he looks dumb, and you look dumb.
Mississippi State was picked ahead of him. Auburn was picked ahead of him. Florida was picked ahead of him. People pick Kentucky and Tennessee 1-2. All right.
How many teams are ahead of LSU currently in the SEC?
Zero.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, we flipped the script there. You see how we did that? Usually you're the one asking me the question I can't figure the answer out to.
Although they did get this one right, apparently.
Okay.
Grant Waters, Player of the Year from Tennessee.
I think you combined.
Oh, Grant Williams.
Yeah.
Freudian slip.
Right.
I saw Tremont Waters. He's on first team all SEC preseason. But Grant Williams, preseason SEC Player of the Year. Well, they sort of nailed that one.
So I mean, it was either Grant Williams, Tremont Waters, and then freshman of the year is between Naz Reid and Hero. Isn't he kind of up there for freshman of the year?
Who's that?
For I can't remember his first name. Hero for Kentucky.
Oh, maybe.
His last name, Tyler Hero, I think. Okay. Actually, I think his name's
right.
Tyler Hero.
I mean, Javonte Smart's going to get some votes, right?
Right. Well, that's what there was.
See,
an LSU
Reed
guy.
Is up and down. Yeah. And again, that was an issue yesterday. And you could see what Florida was doing. They were doubling Naz Reid. But why is Naz Reid getting the ball, like, you know, in between the three-point line and the lane? Why isn't he getting it closer to the lane to where he can make a move before the double team gets there? Or he's making a pass out of the double team and he's, you know, they're closer to the hoop. So you can, you know, out of the double team, someone can drive. But if he's passing it all the way from outside of the lane, it's a long way to go. And a good job by him, I swear, Cody. I thought he was going to get a pick up a charge. I swear he was going to turn around.
I'm just see, is Skylar Mays averaging 14 points a game and 4.5 rebounds a game?
So he's going to get third, maybe third team all SEC?
That's Tyler Hero, the freshman from Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
He's averaging 14 points a game and 4.5 rebounds a game.
Javonte Smart?
That's what I meant to say. I said Skylar, I meant Javonte Smart. I'm looking that up right now.
Oh, we'll see. Javonte Smart's got to be in that conversation.
He is averaging 2018 points. Where are we at?
All right. And we do have some news.
He's averaging 11.5 points a game. It's confusing to read.
Matt Duhon on Facebook, they're probably sticking it to Will Wade for being investigated. And that's a little bit of an issue. All right. Don't think that's still not an issue. We'll see how that goes in April. That goes back to our poll question, Cody, right? And a lot of people telling me to shut up. Will Coach Wade, we're not doing your poll question again. It's just easier to say that. Instead of will Coach Wade coach LSU in 2019-20 next season? You know what? I don't care. It'd be great if he is, but if they go to the Final Four or win it, hang that banner, and if it happens that he's, you know, in trouble, then c'est la vie. I'll worry about that later.
I still feel like Reggie Bush is a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Personally.
Exactly. You know what? If they want the Heisman Trophy, they can come get it. It's in my house.
Down the hall if you want.
You guys want the Heisman, come get it. I'm not going to deliver it to you. I ain't giving it back. Is he in those commercials or is he not in those commercials? He's not in those commercials.
I think he's out of the deal now. He doesn't get to stand on the stage.
That's not too bad for him. All right,
I don't think it bothers him too much.
Probably a little bit.
But at the end of the day, you would hope he's...
I mean, past it, but it probably bothers him a little bit, right?
Hopefully it was
all those guys in the Heisman house.
Hopefully it was like a Band-Aid. You know what I mean? It was ripped off. It hurt, and now it's not so bad.
I bet you it bothers him. I bet you it does bother him. All right, we did get some bad news yesterday. We'll talk about that next. And on top of that, who is your favorite? And when we come back, we'll ask you what your favorite is about. All right, back after this, more Sports Chat-ish on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. Turn on your mic, Dave. Can't tell you to shut up unless we turn on the mic. LSU big win yesterday. Everybody won yesterday. SDM won yesterday. Cajuns baseball won yesterday. LSU baseball won yesterday. And most importantly, LSU basketball won yesterday. So much for the ERA for the Cajuns. They ruined that mantra. Let me see what their stats went up. They gave up, I'm pretty sure, all the runs were earned. They go from giving up five earned runs in their last... 41 innings, Cody? To, I think, 10 earned runs last night. Yeesh. I mean, win and move on and all, but, I mean, yeah, all earned. Blake Schultz, no relation. One earned run on two hits, five innings. Great start for him. Three walks, three punchouts, but Connor Cook struggled. All four men that he faced reached and scored. Grant Cox didn't help the situation. He faced one batter, and he walked him. Chance Stone got one out. This is all in the sixth, by the way. One out, gave up a hit, and three walks, and three runs scored. Logan Savoy walked one. He faced one batter. Caleb Armstrong settled things down, giving up a run on five hits in two innings. Michael Lomont came in and got, not the save, but he finished it off. They did give Lomont a save now because he came in the eighth inning. And it was a 12-10 ball game. This was 11-1 at one point in time. McNeese scores one in the eighth, makes it 12-10. They put up four runs in the ninth to make it 16-10. UL's bats explode. I mean, this is a good night. Daniel LaHare 0 for 4, but he scored three times, walked twice. Brennan Breaux, a big night, five runs batted in, 3 for 6. Handsome Monica homer, 2 for 3. With four runs batted in, Oren Vion, 2 for 6, four runs batted in. Even Jonathan Windham, 2 for 3 with an RBI and two runs scored. So good job. All right, and we'll see. You know, again, those guys got to get weathered too. And the midweek is a good spot to do it. But now you got Jacob Schultz and you got Blake Schultz. Because, of course, Cody, the Schultzes are coming through for the Cajuns. Those are a couple of good midweek starters and maybe bullpen on the weekend if you need them. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. We got some bad news yesterday, Cody, from one of the all-time beloved game show hosts. Why don't we play? And he, I guess I saw it on, you know, Twitter first, kind of reported, and then he, what I saw afterwards was he made the announcement.
Hi, everyone. I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with our Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working, and with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me. Keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
All right, so that's Alex Trebek announcing to the world the bad news, pancreatic cancer. That is, that's not good news. All right, he admitted that. Showing a sense of humor that he's still got a 3-year contract. Hopefully he's able to fulfill that. So let's do a Shut Up Dave poll question, Cody. We can leave off Shut Up Dave if you want to, because I can come up with 4 game show hosts, all right? But who's your favorite game show host, right? I mean, we have the 3. Can you name 3?
Alex Trebek.
1.
Pat Sajak.
2.
Hold on.
There's one more. There's only one more. Maybe before your time.
Not Dawson, is that his last name?
No, that would have been a good one, but not him.
Not him.
No.
Then who are we talking about?
Bob Barker.
Bob. Oh, Price is Right. Duh, Cody.
Yeah.
That's on me.
Bob Barker, right? We have Wink Martindale. Jack Barry is kind of a generation before with 21 and Joker's Wild. But I thought maybe Chuck Woolery. All right, is that really a game show? A love connection, right? Back in 2 and 2. But we'll just do those 3. Who is your favorite all-time game show?
Who hosted the original Let's Make a Deal?
No. Monty Hall. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of game shows now.
Right? Yeah. That's a good one. I think Alex Trebek.
Wayne Brady is great.
Concentration? You have a kid. You have, what's that game where you flip the cards over and you got to remember where the cards match?
It's just called Memory.
Memory? I think that was on TV. I was thinking it was Concentration.
Okay.
But that's what Alex Trebek used to host. That was a game show.
See, I didn't know that. Yeah.
And so then you would get the puzzle behind the squares. You'd have to figure out the puzzle behind the squares.
Oh, you'd get something right, and it would reveal a little bit of the...
Right.
Okay.
You get the prize, whatever it is.
I don't know it, but something sounds familiar. There may have actually been like a Nickelodeon version of that show. That's what I'm remembering.
Well, let's see if, Cody, you're going to have to... Can you stop this in the middle of each one and play it where we start it?
Should be able to.
Okay, so this is a sports one. Let's see how many answers Cody can get here.
Oh, goodness.
All right, you'll hear Alex Trebek mocking the contestants. All right, go ahead, Cody. Play the sports one.
Football 200.
Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back.
Stop it.
That's the option.
That's the option. All right, good job. One down. Go ahead.
It's an option play. Ryan?
All right. This is the only category left. Avoid it on purpose.
You guys are big football fans. Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team.
Stop it.
Cowboys.
There you go. Well done. There you go, Cody. Nice. I'm not convinced Chet would have gotten that answer.
King of the Hill.
Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial?
However you got it right, I don't mind.
They do,
Ryan,
go to Tom
take it on to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled.
Well, that's the easy one. It's fair catch.
That's the $600
that's
question.
The easy one. That's the...
Go ahead.
Fair catch.
Who's left, Brian?
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out.
Stop it.
Offsetting?
Of course. These are getting easier.
They are.
And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis' U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
All right, he gives you the clue. All right, he gives you the clue. The Vikings,
right.
Four Super Bowl defensive line. All right.
But see, I don't know
the
name.
Be before your time.
Yeah, I don't know the name of there.
Well, hear what he says.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the purple people?
People. The purple people. Purple. Okay.
We're going to take a break.
I didn't get the last.
I have to talk to them.
No, that's a generation thing. That's fine. All right. So pretty good there from Alex Trebek. I do have an Alex Trebek story.
Okay. Right.
So I went on a Jewish youth group excursion to California, like over the holidays, the end of 86. So my senior year, and I only went with, I knew one guy, Jason, he's called the show before, though he hasn't called in a while, from South Florida. So we went, and it was people from all over the country. We picked some people up in Albany and Poughkeepsie, and we went down to New York, and we flew from like Newark and to L.A., and we were in San Francisco. So we ended up in Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive, right? Everywhere else that word is pronounced rodeo, but out in California it's pronounced Rodeo Drive. So the one thing we knew about Alex Trebek, and he's only been hosting it for a couple years. I heard this morning on Amy Lawrence's show, he's been hosting Jeopardy for 33 years. So if we do the math, he started in 84. He shopped, you know, clothing provided by, wardrobe provided by Mr. Guy. We stopped in Mr. Guy.
Nice.
Right? I mean, you can imagine how much the suits cost back then. Right?
Right.
Couldn't imagine what they cost now. We left him a note. We left Alex Trebek a note. He sent back an autograph picture.
No. Oh, what a good guy. What a guy. That's awesome. I know the line you're talking about at the end. Wardrobe for today's contestants
yes.
Whoever provided by.
Well, not the contestants, for Alex Trebek.
Right. That's
no, no,
good.
The contestants dressed in, no, no. You know, wardrobe considerations and sponsorship, promotional, provided by Mr. Guy.
Closed captioning brought to you by Welch's Grape Juice.
Right. Oh, yeah, we had that there. And you want to hear typical Schultz, you know, why I'm single and doing a morning show in Lafayette.
Okay.
So this is typical, right? So the end, I think it was in San Francisco by the time we were up in the Bay Area. And so we've been there a week, right? And, of course, you know, we're all teenagers, so there's probably a little, you know, messing around going on. And I probably had a crush on somebody that somebody else had a crush on, whatever, right? So we figured, and there's a dance going on. There's a social. So there's got to be about 500 to 1,000 people there, something like that, right?
Right.
Half girls, half boys, right?
Right.
Where's Schultz? It's Monday Night Football.
No.
Patriots and the Dolphins. Last game in the Orange Bowl. Patriots had lost the Super Bowl the year before. I'm going back and forth between the Patriots and the Dolphins on Monday Night Football and the dance. Super genius.
He needed to find someone who was also a Patriots fan or at least a Dolphins fan and he'd bring them with you. Back
yeah,
and forth,
right, see? Right, right.
But hindsight, right?
Right, well, I probably should have found out that Miami people or the Boston people. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Now, well,
it's one of those if you knew then what you know.
Yeah,
now,
well, I wasn't thinking, yeah.
Right. I have.
By the way, Patriots won the game.
Oh, well, see, so look, hashtag there's always a bright
always
side.
Always a bright side.
I have Mr. Trebek, Pat Sajak, Bob right. Barker. I don't know if you want me to throw Shut Up Dave in that number four
let's
slot.
Let's just Shut Up Dave.
Okay.
All right.
I think these three guys are multi-generational.
Right. Well, see, Chuck Woolery hosted Wheel of Fortune before Sajak did. And there may have been a couple other people in there before that.
Now,
in between Sajak and Woolery. But Chuck Woolery hosted Wheel of Fortune back in the day.
And it's who is the best? I just want to make sure we're phrasing this right. This is very important to me.
Right. No, who's your favorite? Not the best. Who's your favorite all time?
I'm glad I asked. Who's your favorite game show host of all time?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a little bit more. I mean, Alex, you know, gets a little sarcasm in there. Sajak probably has the best personality.
Right, but his show probably lends to him having
exactly.
That. So that's what you're saying.
Exactly. And so is Bob, right?
Bob had a lot of personality. He used to have a lot more one-on-one interaction.
Neuter, right?
Right, right. That was just good.
Right.
His reactions
with Bob Barker, right? The price is wrong, Bob!
Right. I always loved Bob Barker's reactions at, like, the showcase when somebody would bid a price that was just ridiculous, whether it was way too low or way too high.
Right.
And he would just, like, kind of drop his head, just, are you sure we're going to go with $80,000 for the RV and the trip to Branson, Missouri? $80,000, is that what we're going to do? Like, and he would just, all right, we'll go with it.
We'll be back at it. Closest without going over.
Without going over. Yeah, we're not. $100,000, Bob.
We'll be back after this. Put a bow on hour number one of a Thursday morning sports chat. All our best to Alex Trebek as he fights back pancreatic cancer. We'll be back. 103.7 The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Thursday morning sports chat. All guests coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. The big guy, Gerald Gruning. At 7, Josh Friedman from WQAM in Miami, 7:32, talk a little baseball. And Danny Broussard, as his STM Cougars, with a victory over U High in a rather blowout fashion. They'll take on De La Salle, 2 p.m. on Saturday, 97.7 or 13:30 a.m. or the Rewind app. You can listen to the ball game. So I see this differently than everybody else, right? Last night, LeBron James passed Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list, and those stats are Omar Kelly, also from South Florida, tweeted out a picture of the stats and how close they are. Let's see if he did. Maybe tweets and replies. The numbers were incredibly close. Well, let's do it on me because I replied. If not, all towards LeBron. Shoots better, more assists, more rebounds, and now more points. You know who's left out of this conversation? Because it comes down to, right, LeBron, MJ, and Kobe for some reason. How is it feasible the all-time leading scorer in the NBA is underrated? How does Kareem Abdul-Jabbar not figure into this conversation? He created... or perfected, I don't know if he created it, but he certainly perfected the skyhook. That was an impossible shot to defend. You could double-team Michael Jordan and get the ball out of his hands. Steve Kerr will tell you, John Paxson will tell you, those guys hit game-winning shots in NBA Finals. You could not defend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's skyhook. The double-team would come over, and unlike Naz Reid, who would pass out of it, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would just go to baseline and hook it over two defenders. Plus, he's an airplane. You drag Walton and the Lanier up the court for 45 minutes a game and see how you do. I don't get it. They just forget Kareem. Kareem's like gone. Just didn't happen. Now, the question is, does LeBron catch Kareem? He's 6,000 points away, which under normal circumstances is about three seasons to go. That's what he's got left. He's always around 2,000 points a season. I tell you, I don't think he's coming back after this contract. I think this contract is it, but he's going to want to break that record. LeBron James is going to want to be the all-time scoring leader in the NBA. That's what's going to happen, unless severe injury stops that. Or what about constant losing? Are we convinced that they're going to get somebody? Right? Are we convinced? I mean, maybe AD is going to be there in 2 years. Although he could still end up there next year. But that'll be a big trade. And that may be the best deal.
If AD ends up there in 2 years and they win a championship, that could be LeBron's final season there anyway. Walk off while on top.
Yeah. See, I don't think so.
You don't think?
No. Not if he's 2,000 or so points away.
So you think the record still
If he's like 3,500 points away because he's injured or, you know, takes a sabbatical again.
Then I guess there would be nothing stopping him from coming back, breaking the record, and AD would still be on the team, just go win another championship.
No, he's going to want to be the all-time leading scorer. That's what I think. I think he'd come back even for one more year to do that. But I just it boggles my mind. It's the Jordans. It's the MJ. It's the LeBrons. It's the Kobe's. Who's the best player of all time? Blah 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 blah. No one says Kareem. How is that feasible? How is that feasible? If you want to tell me Babe Ruth didn't play against African Americans, okay, but I mean, what he was doing against the rest of the league compared to what everybody else was doing, it may not have been so great, but you know, if everyone was allowed to play back then, but still, you can't have a conversation without Babe Ruth. I mean, Hank Aaron may be the same way. You can't have a conversation who's the best player of all time without having it Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth. Barry Bonds kind of a, you know, asterisk there because the, you know, grotesquely oversized head. Isn't that from The Simpsons, Cody? You know, but Bonds would have been in that conversation anyways without that. Even if he ended up with just, you know, Willie Mays-esque home runs, you know, 660 one
God,
runs.
God forbid.
Yeah. You can't have a conversation without Hank Aaron being, you know, one of the all-time greats. Period. End of story. He's like second in hits, I think. Well, third in hits. Right? Rose, Cobb. Hank Aaron. All right, the big guy joins us next on a Thursday morning sports chat. 107, the game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
All right. Hour number two of a Thursday morning sports chat. The big guy going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Apparently, he's actually working. The guy with the best
gig. He
said
record promo.
Yeah. As if. Couldn't do that at 7:50.
Translation is cut this pizza. I don't know what is it.
Josh Friedman from WQAM in Miami going to join us. That's a good time to talk about this now then. And Danny Broussard at 7:45. STM playing for back-to-back state titles against De La Salle on Saturday. You can hear that on 97.7 and 13:30 a.m. The rewind. All right, Cody, you have the Derek Jeter from yesterday. This is a ridiculous sentiment. And by the way, right, Jessica Mendoza, you know, people don't think she's qualified to be doing this, an advisor to the Mets. The Mets general manager, no experience doing this. He's an agent, right? Derek Jeter. Guess who doesn't have any experience running a baseball team? Derek Jeter. He's part owner. I mean, he is, I mean, you know. As minority owners go, he is a minority owner. Someone else brought the big bucks. As rich as Derek Jeter is, he ain't that rich compared to, you know, billionaires. Listen to how Derek Jeter is talking about, I guess it's not the Florida Marlins, excuse me, it's the Miami Marlins experience.
You know, this is professional sports, and I feel bad for even saying this, but it's impossible to win every single game. But one thing you always remember is the experience you had while you were at the park. We want it to be a positive experience, and we want people to enjoy themselves And look, a lot of times people come, they don't know who won or lost. Sometimes they don't even know who was playing. But they do know if they had a good experience, and that's what we're focused on.
That's not Major League Baseball. That's Minor League Baseball. People go to Major League Baseball games to see the home team win. Or you go to the game because your team's coming to town or you want to see a player win.
Right, when the Cubs are in the NL Central and the Houston Astros are still in the NL Central, I go to Minute Maid to watch
That's
the Cubs
right.
win.
That's exactly right. You know, when Pedro came to play the Marlins when they were up playing at the Hard Rock Stadium, it was a fest, right? I mean, all the Dominicans came out, and it was like, you know, a family reunion, and it was a festival kind of atmosphere. Maybe that's the kind where nobody cares, although I think the Marlins won that ballgame that I was at. But he's talking about minor league baseball. That's the minor league baseball mantra.
I've been to Biloxi Shuckers game.
Oh, wow.
I've been,
Where's your hat?
That was younger, so I was dumb at the time. And I've been to some Charleston River Dog games.
Oh, there you go.
Memphis Redbirds. So I know where I've been to see minor league games.
Sure.
Don't ask me who they played, who the other team was, though. But I remember the home team. But that's, I don't know who the
minor league baseball game is, you know, if you spend $100 taking a family of four and you spend $100 at a minor league baseball game, that's a lot. Right? Those are high end tickets and you spend a lot of money on food and souvenirs because you can really go, what's a ticket? You know, a good ticket is going to be $12. Maybe you can get cheaper tickets at, GA, but say $12. So that's $48. So you're spending $52 on, you know, burgers and beers and sodas and fries. That's plenty good, right? I got my boy Josh on here. You know, that's probably cheaper, although the food may not be as good, than four people going to the Cheesecake Factory, which is the most popular restaurant in South Florida, if you can believe it. But a four people going to the Cheesecake Factory is for dinner anyways, it's probably going to cost you about $100. You go to a minor league baseball game, same thing. And the best part about it, no traffic. For the most part, you get in, you get out, especially if you stay to the end of the game. Very rarely do you have traffic. And if you do have traffic because it's a good giveaway or a good promotion like fireworks or the famous chicken or the Philly Fanaticum, you're in traffic for 10, 15 minutes. That's it. That's all. You know, the Marlins, that's out of whack. They have just turned themselves into a minor league baseball team. That's Derek Jeter. What's he talking about? Why don't we ask Derek Jeter? Hey, Derek, do you think Yankee fans came for the good experience or to see the Yankees win? Where did that come from?
Well, you'd get a line about the hallowed halls of Yankee Stadium.
Can you imagine him talking to George Steinbrenner about that? So, George, you want to give them the good experience so they come back and pay top dollar, but they ain't coming unless they're winning. You got somebody on the phone? Who you got? What? Who's on the phone?
Yes!
No. We did this segment. He come back. No. He doesn't get to come in when he wants to come in. He bailed on the segment. He come in next segment. Next. We'll call him back. He doesn't dictate my show. I dictate my show. He needed time to do his promos. He's going to come on in the next segment. If he doesn't want to come on in the next segment, we'll do the show without him. Can't come in the middle of the segment. It's not the way the show works, Cody. And we're going to call him back, or does he not want to do it? He bailed on the segment.
I mean, I guess we will call him
back.
Okay,
that's fine. But don't come back in the middle of the segment after you say you can't come on.
Well, he said he got finished earlier, so I thought we were going to
throw
him to him.
Nope. Already going. When you give me the thumbs up, I thought someone was calling about baseball. I was kind of shocked. What is Derek Jeter doing? Let's go to every other organization. Let's see we can tell this. We got our Astros promos coming up, right? We got these giveaways, these getaways come up, and it's really not that much. All right, we do six of them, right? The Astros give us a total of 48 tickets. They give us 8 tickets for Saturday and Sunday, right? That is not that much. It really isn't. But the games that they don't give us, Red Sox and the Rangers, because they're selling out. Now, a couple years ago, you know, before they won the World Series, we didn't have a problem getting Yankees and Red Sox tickets or Rangers tickets. But now they're selling out, and these are high-priced tickets. You think people who go to an Astros Red Sox game know who's the other team playing? You think when the Yankees come to town, they don't know who's coming? Derek Jeter played in a series with the Yankees in Miami. They almost drew 130,000 people in three games. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know if you'll get the actual attendance. How long it takes the Marlins to draw 130,000 this year. Anywhere from 10 to 15 ball games. They want to enjoy the experience. That is minor league ball. That's going to the Zephyrs. That's going to the Trash Pandas. What other names do we got? Like you said, the Shuckers. How young were you? They haven't been around that long.
Nah, 20, 21, 20. It was old-ish, but not yeah, I was younger. I just didn't think
you weren't in the caps at the time. Well, he's wearing a winter cap right now, by the way.
Well, I have my ball cap here because I knew it was going to get warm. I just didn't put it on yet.
All right.
But I guess I wasn't thinking about hats. I was in Biloxi partying. I don't even think it was part of the plan. It was just like, hey, we're in Biloxi and there's a baseball game.
Yes.
Go to that.
Right. I wonder how much those casinos take away from that.
Baseball field's right there.
On the beach.
It's not on the beach. It's like on the other side of the highway, maybe like a block, if you would call
it. By the IP?
In between the IP and the
beach.
And the beach.
I missed it. I was going at night, not paying
attention. It's way easier to see leaving Biloxi than it is coming in. When you're leaving
Biloxi. It's on the right side.
Correct. Okay. When you're leaving Biloxi, it's like on the side of the interstate right there.
Okay.
You can see it.
All right. Are you going, by the way?
I haven't confirmed. Like, I haven't bought tickets yet, but I would like to go.
Right. Okay.
It's March 20. It's in the 20s somewhere or something like that.
All right.
So.
Well,
I got a little bit of time.
Let me know. I got a couple. Well, I don't even know. It's a couple $100. It's a few bucks. You can get some drinks.
I'll bring you $20 back if it was 20. I mean, if I win money, I want my money, right?
It's a few bucks. Not that much. I got my big bucks, and the Saints came up short. Yeah. What Derek Jeter is talking about is ludicrous. Can you imagine if, you know, the Saints, you know, can you imagine if Sean Payton said that? This is professional sports. We can't win every game, but we want to have everybody have the good experience at the game. Or if Gail Benson said that, can you imagine that? What about Jerry Jones?
I mean, maybe a Pelicans game once AD leaves.
Right. They all believe that, right? That's why Jerry Jones has the stadium that he does. That's why, you know, the Saints redid the dome after the hurricane. They all know that. And they're trying to figure out how to keep getting people back because the experience is slipping away, especially it slipped away in South Florida. They know that, right? Because parking is really expensive. Traffic after a Saints game is brutal. I don't leave a Saints game until an hour after, maybe an hour and a half. You still get traffic on I-10 up until you get across the spillway. Why is one a spillway and the other one a basin?
Because one, I believe a basin
is a lake.
Yeah, it always holds water.
All right.
And a spillway is there for when there's too much water, so you put the water in the spillway.
There always seems to be water in the spillway.
And I noticed that, too, because there's a different spillway. There's a Morganza spillway that's very close to where I grew up.
Right.
And they've only ever had to open that up, I think, twice in its history.
Oh, okay.
And it was during the flood in 16. They had to open it up that. But that spillway in Morganza, there's hunting land and all that people hunt on. It was a big deal. People were farming. And not like huge commercial, but I mean people's farms that they put up for themselves and whatnot got
stuff
flooded.
Maybe they shouldn't have been farming?
That's probably. I wasn't referring to that, but you're probably not wrong.
Maybe.
You're probably not wrong. And a lot of wildlife and stuff. But you're right. When you pass the Bonnie Carey spillway, there always does seem to be water on both sides.
I don't know the difference.
I don't know how that works exactly, but.
But, I mean, can you imagine if the Saints said, you know, we just want people to enjoy the experience. Hopefully we win more than we lose.
You just don't say that second part.
No.
Yeah, I want to enjoy the experience and see a competitive football team.
No. You want to see a winning football team.
It's
the NFL.
It's
not high school football.
I don't blame the Saints for losing that final game of the season. So in the playoffs.
No.
So I want to see a competitive football team.
No.
If that's not their fault, they didn't win.
Yeah, but the primary thing should be.
I'm being petty.
Right. But the primary focus should be winning. On the major league level, the primary focus is winning.
For the team.
Well, it should be. I don't necessarily agree that it always is. There's a lot of teams that don't. And again, I know people disagree with me on this, but I bet you Jerry Jones would much rather have Jerry World than another Super Bowl. He's got his three Super Bowls. Now he's got a stadium.
See, at this point, yeah, because now he's hosting WrestleManias.
People say they disagree with me. I disagree with that. Right? I think it's a little bit of a fraud with all of them. The Super Bowl is for Robert Kraft, and they may be a bad example by now, but, you know, that's the cherry on top of the whipped cream, on top of the ice cream, on top of the cake, right?
Yum.
You know, and you know what the benefit is of him winning another Super Bowl? Ticket prices go up. Who's Mark Summers?
He hosts a lot of Nickelodeon shows. He hosted Double Dare, right?
Oh, okay.
Double Dare. Right. There was another one he did as well, but it slipped my mind.
Pat Sajak getting no love.
No.
Who is your favorite game show host of all time? At Dave, 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Alex Trebek, 22%. Nobody likes Pat Sajak. 56%, Bob Barker.
I mean, maybe because Pat Sajak gets to hang out with Vanna White all the time.
Oh, we're jealous of that?
Yeah, a little.
Oh, all right. And 22%, shut up. All right, back after this, the big guy, if he's still talking to me. After this, Gerald Gruning, 1037 The Game. All right. We'll talk to my buddy Josh Friedman about Derek Jeter's ridiculous remarks about making the Marlins a minor league baseball team, because it's about the experience, not about the winning at the big league level. Baloney. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. He's squeezing us into his incredibly busy schedule a little bit later than usual, but that's all right. It's the big guy, Gerald Gruning from KLFY.
Yes! 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 Woo!
How those promos come out?
So, I'm going to need you. I called Cody, and I said, hey, man, if y'all want to do it now, we can.
Right.
If not, I can wait till 7:15. Well, we can do it.
We can put it on Cody. Yeah, we'll blame Cody. Yeah, that's okay by me.
No. I'm gonna need you to get Cody right before our fans. You blew me off, man. You hurt my feelings.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
I thought we were cooler than that.
We are, but it was in the middle of a segment. I was on a rant.
Oh no! I completely get it. But man, and then Cody gets on the phone and tells me you just got Ariana Grande. And I'm like, no, bro, that's on you.
Bro, no doubt.
That's on you, Cody.
Yeah. It's on Cody. I thought he got a baseball call.
I take no responsibility for what you said.
Oh, no, that's about right. That's about right. Let me tell you, man. Well, Cody, I can tell you this. I still love you, man. But you threw me to the wolves, bro. Come on.
By the way, Cody,
I would not
start to use that excuse with your wife. All right? I take no responsibility whatsoever. That's right. Not going to fly at home. It may fly here. It ain't going to fly at home. What are we, 2 weeks into this?
Hey, Cody, I love when the married guys start giving out marriage advice. Huh?
Well, in this case, I'm right. are we at 14 days? We have 14 days, Cody. How what are we in here?
It's longer than that.
Is it 3 weeks?
It's 14 plus. It's today's the 7th, so plus 5.
Okay,
so 19.
All right. We're about a third of the way to the Kardashian anniversary. We will celebrate the Kardashian anniversary. 72 days. We got to do something for that. Maybe it'll go viral. Happy Kardashian anniversary. What can we get you makeup? Can we get you makeup or something? Get her makeup.
I think Humphries was in love, man.
I don't blame him, but you know, yeah, no, it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, and I love what everybody's saying now. Kylie Jenner is the youngest self-made billionaire.
Right.
Self-made? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Come on.
Right, yeah.
Come on. Mark Zuckerberg is self-made. Like, he stole his idea, too. Oh, no.
So did Bill Gates.
I saw that as well.
Right.
But you still got to have the ability to do that stuff is my point.
Sure.
You know?
Right,
where Kylie Jenner is not self-made because she's famous because of her sisters and her family.
Right.
And then some agent or executive or some slappy that hangs out with him goes, oh, Kylie, you should start a makeup line. Oh, okay, how much do you think she has to do with that makeup? I mean, come on.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Kylie Jenner, if you're listening, please chime in, prove me wrong. Just drives me crazy when I'm seeing self-made. And I'm not knocking the hustle. You know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking it. Like, good for her. But let's pump the brakes on
the self-made.
So that was my Kardashian vent.
Correct.
Shout out That's to fine. Chris Humphries. He was in love. He got done dirty. Kanye has stole Kim's heart, I guess. I don't know. I don't keep up with Kardashian.
Well, now that we're on this conversation, can I tell you about a conversation I had yesterday?
No, tell me.
All right. So this girl was dating somebody. the beginning of the dating, right? So it was date number three, and she decided it's not going anywhere, so she wanted to say thanks, but no thanks, right?
Right.
And we're discussing on how you do that, and just be direct, and she's getting out of a long-time relationship, so she's not quite ready. And don't go the whole, it's me, it's not you, it's me. Don't do the whole Costanza thing, right? But then she goes, I don't know how we're going to say this, Cody. She wanted to apologize. Sorry that you didn't get to hee-hee, but, that's what she was going to say.
Jesus.
That's not the vernacular she used. I'm not going to use a vernacular because, we want to have a show here in about 30 minutes. But
right.
It was awesome. That's awesome. I don't know if she used that with the guy, but it's good stuff.
Dave, thankfully... Can I go through the dating history of Gerald Grunig real quick? Would that be all right?
It's just one person. Is it more than one? How old are you? Have you been with Ariel since you were eight?
It's brief. I grew up an ugly duckling, right?
Right.
I did.
Okay.
From the ages of 8 to 12, when everybody starts talking to girls and on the phone and, first kisses and stuff like that. Didn't happen. Not that I wasn't trying. A shooter's going to shoot a shot, but. It just wasn't happening.
Was there a lot of dates at 8 years old?
Hold on,
third grade.
Hold on. I'm giving you the whole scenario.
Okay.
So I go to an all because since we're on the radio, I would normally I go to an urban eighth grade school. Right. I get my braces off. I grow my hair out. Next thing you know, man, the ladies from the neighborhood. I'm starting to pay attention to your boy, man. I'm like, well, damn, baby, look. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting a little, some hugs. Hey, Gerald, text me. Hey, I'm like, okay, what's up? So then I get this complete fake air of confidence, right? Where it's just like, man, I was living in my Gentilly New Orleans bubble. I end up at Brother Martin, still got a little swag. I end up on the North Shore, where now all of a sudden you're at a co-ed school, right? And it's like, man, what is going on here? And then I just get to the North Shore. I'm like, man, I got it all figured out. I'm thinking anyway. I get my first real girlfriend my sophomore year in high school, right?
Okay.
And I
think that's legit.
I get my first real girlfriend in the football season. I end up, we have the second best team in the state before the playoffs were split. We had just won the district championship. I'm starting as a sophomore, all district this, just rocking and rolling, dude. It felt like I was living in a movie, to be honest with you.
Sure.
It was a blast. And then one of these girls, she's a cheerleader. Next thing you know, she starts wanting to, talk or whatever. I'm like, okay, wow, right? So the last couple of weeks of the season, I got a girlfriend. Man, look out. Cheerleader. She's a year older than me.
Wow.
I always give her credit because, Dave, I did not know how to act with a girlfriend. I'm calling all the time. I'm texting when I hang out.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
Can I tell you quickly? That's what this guy was doing to her. This was a 40-year-old guy with a kid was being a little too clingy with his friend.
Right. Well, so dude, you got to realize she's driving. I'm not.
Sure.
Just like, hey man, let's hang. And I took. So then a few months later, I had known Ariel at the time, but a few months later, because she was actually dating a guy. I say dating. We're in high school, dude. She's a freshman. I'm a sophomore, talking to some guys that I had, a guy I played football with, and then she went to homecoming with, I'm saying this because it all happened so fast, right? Homecoming, I brought one girl. A week later, I'm dating another girl. And then in February, I'm dating Ariel. Well, moral of the story is, Dave, my first real girlfriend, I say that, it lasted, 6-8 weeks?
Sure. Which is a long time in high school.
Taught me how not to act with Ariel.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a learning experience, and I always told her that. We still have a good relationship. The first girl that I dated in high school. So the point is that I learned, and now here we are. As soon as I started dating Ariel, I knew I couldn't mess it up.
There you go.
And we just made 12 years on Valentine's
Day. Wow, see? I mean, you're 15 years old. You've been with her for your whole life.
That's true, man. Then we went through our party phase in high school where we got in trouble with our parents. Ariel and I both have great relationships with both sets of our parents, but at that time, we went through a rebellion stage. Then I got my grades together. I went to Nichols. She went to UNO.
Right.
We both had separate college experiences, but still made time for each other because we were only about 45 minutes away, so it worked out. And now we here we are in Lafayette.
And now you got the cushiest job.
Friends.
Now you got the cushiest job in Lafayette media. Where are you eating this week? And, quickly, you got 30 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. T-Boys and Mamu, Cracklin' and Boudin, baby. Real deal.
Okay.
Dave, as a matter of fact, you know, it's a Friday during Lent. I'm going to go get my Cracklin' and Boudin stick right now.
All right.
Right now.
I like it. I like it. All right. I appreciate
Dave,
it. The big guy, Jared Grunig from KLFY. You're the best.
Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, love you guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. Yeah, we'll blame Cody on that. Cody's got to produce. Produce, Cody. All right, we'll go to South Florida. Josh Friedman.
I tried. You told me no.
Well, WQAM after this, 103.7. The game. All right, we'll talk to Danny Broussard, head coach of the victorious STM Cougars here in about 12 minutes. They're going to play for a second straight Division II title, taking on De La Salle on Saturday. It'll be on 97.7. And 1330, the rewind, 2 p.m. All right, let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Let's talk a little South Florida baseball, shall we? He is the co-host of the Dono and Frito Show. That's convenient since your nickname is Frito. It's Josh Friedman from WQAM. That's my flagship, Cody. That's my flagship. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. All right, what is Derek Jeter talking about when he thinks that the experience is what counts most and not winning and losing?
He's saying, look, please don't look at what we have on the field because we stink once again. The National League East got much tougher than it was even last year, and we're going to be a dreadful team. We lost 98 games last year, and it may be more this year just because of the competition in the East. So we're going to treat ourselves like a minor league club and just come to the park and have a great time, and don't worry who wins or loses. You might not even know who wins or loses, and we're okay with that. Don't look so much in the field. Just have a great time in the stands.
You know, Jessica Mendoza took some grief because people didn't think she was qualified. Why does anybody think that Derek Jeter is qualified to do what he's doing?
People are a little bit dubious right now, and they've got every right to be. I gave him a clean slate. I mean, I didn't know how he was going to be as an executive, but I certainly wasn't going to anoint him. You've lived down here. And in South Florida, there are a lot of transplanted New Yorkers that are down here. So, you know, he was given a free pass right from the start. And I didn't think that was right. I would give him a clean slate, let's see what he can do. But don't sit there and think he's going to be executive of the year right off the bat. And right now, the moves they've made, you know, were all to save money. I mean, look about it. They traded away the last two National League MVPs in Stanton and Yelich.
Right.
And they got almost nothing back in return for these guys. And then they traded Marcelo Ozuna, arguably the best catcher in baseball, JT Realmuto. They just dealt him this offseason. And again, getting minor leaguers back, but you're not going to hear about these guys for a long time. So there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the Marlins and with Derek Jeter right now.
I mean, we're talking with Josh Friedman from 560 WQAM, host middays 10 to 2. So his show is coming up. We appreciate him spending a few minutes with us on a Thursday morning sports chat. So, Raul, for some reason, baseball wants to expand. I'm sure it's just the owners making money. There's not enough pitching to go around now, but apparently there's going to be more pitching around in a couple of years. I mean, is there any worry that the Marlins may not last in South Florida, that they may end up somewhere else?
Absolutely not. They signed a 35-year lease. They're not going anywhere. They're locked in here. I'm sure the language is unbreakable. No. They're here. For better or worse, they're here. And, I mean, look, the one positive thing is there's no Jeffrey Loria. For the second year in a row now, he's out of baseball. Jeffrey Loria and David Sampson. And they're very, very happy down here that they're gone. But, you know, again, when you trade away guys like that, they've seen this movie several times before. They've seen players dealt away time and time again. So there's a lot for this new regime to prove. But no, the Marlins are here. And the team stinks, but it is a nice ballpark. You know, I'm anxious to see what it looks like. It's gotten better. They removed that hideous home run sculpture in center field, and they're going to move it out to the plaza outside. I don't know what their people are going to do with it there. Maybe throw eggs at it or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But the park itself is nice. But beyond the field, yeah, you just might want to pay attention to your phones or talk to your neighbors or friends or something.
Right. We're talking with Josh Friedman from WQAM in Miami. He is the co-host of the Dono and Frito Show at 10 to 2 Eastern Time. Peter Gammons reported yesterday, per MLB's gambling deal, managers have been told their daily lineups must first go to the commissioner's office, not to PR or the media. One of the guys said, I guess a manager said, I'm really bothered by this. It's okay not to field the best team for service time reasons, but lineups first must go to Vegas. That's crazy. I mean, you know how this works. The manager is usually the first one there. Post the lineup whenever, you know, he's ready or he's got to check on a couple of injuries or whatever the case is. But that thing's usually up really early before the ball game. Now we got to wait before to get the lineup and it's got to go to Vegas. That seems a little shady.
When you walked in the clubhouse, you know, as a reporter, you saw that lineup there on the wall. I saw that tweet, and trust me, Dave, we're going to talk about it on our show. It's extraordinary that that's happening, and I think this is to fuel gambling. I don't know what other thing. I mean, I'll ask you. I mean, what other reason could it be other than to give these lineups to Vegas? I don't know. I can't figure it out unless it's that.
Yeah, I don't understand why. But why does Vegas need it sooner? Because they need the lines first. I don't.
Look, they finally realize that ignoring Vegas is ridiculous. I mean,
sure.
You know, the NBA or the NFL is going in there. Hockey, of course, is in there. Had a very successful freshman campaign with the Golden Knights.
Right.
You know, gambling is here to stay. You might as well get in bed with them because it's here to stay, and you might as well make as much money as you can off of it. You know, besides Vegas making money, the leagues want to make money off of Vegas, and so I guess to do that, this is one of the ways they're appeasing Las Vegas.
Yeah, but the only advantage would be is, what, are you going to have it 10 minutes beforehand so you don't know who's playing short or something?
I guess getting that information briefly, I don't see the big advantage of it, but maybe the guys that do this for a living, maybe they do. But it's troubling to me that as much as I'm fine with, you know, leagues being in bed with gambling, I just don't see why that makes a difference, that, you know, those few minutes, but apparently the people that make those decisions feel it is.
Yeah, I don't agree with it either. Josh Friedman from WQAM in South Florida. How's the move across the street, my friend?
It was weird. I mean, I was at the other station, our sister station, that's taken for 13 years.
Right.
I finished up a show on December 5th, the 13th anniversary of the day I started there. And the next morning, I finished up at 10 at night. Next morning, I'm on the air at our sister station, WQAM. And thus far, I've not made the mistake and said the wrong name.
There you go. Well, that's impressive. I would have to do that. When my baseball games would be on a different station, I would have to do that. Or my football, I do football games here, they're on a different station. So you write it down in the scorebook and the such. And the bonus is you do get the Dunkin' Donuts right next to the station, though. That's right there.
Oh, trust me, I go there every day. They know me quite well.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think of the Bryce Harper deal?
You know, I guess it's good for Philadelphia. I was impressed that he didn't have any opt-outs. He's not going anywhere. And, you know, and he says now he can trade, you know, he can encourage other people to come there. I mean, it's not like if he says to Mike Trout in a couple years, come here, well, Trout, you know, maybe could have said, well, wait, you have an opt-out after 3 years. How do I know you're going to be around? They know he's going to be around. And I wouldn't have personally paid that kind of money for Bryce Harper. I mean, he's been injured a lot. He has trouble staying on the field. He's a great talent when he's healthy, but the when he's healthy part is a bit disconcerting. But, you know, he's a great marketing guy. He's a great, you know, they're going to absolutely love him in Philadelphia. But we were talking on our show, how many home games, Dave, will it be with those Philadelphia fans before he hears the first boos? Maybe he strikes out with the bases loaded or something. Our guess was like two.
Well, didn't it take Gabe Kapler none? Wasn't he booed immediately when he got home? Right, they started on the road.
Yeah, his first weekend, I know one of the faux pas he made, he went out to the mound. It was the second trip out there. He had to make a pitching change, and nobody was warming up at the bullpen.
Oh, yeah, that's a problem. But he took Nola out early in the ballgame with all his analytics.
Yes.
He got booed the
same
first
weekend.
Time out.
Yes, right. Yeah. Nola was cruising.
Yeah.
And he took him out strictly because of analytics, not what his eyes were telling him.
Yep. Josh Friedman, 560 WQAM. I know you got to get ready for a show. Your boy Dono. Boy, he gets the show, and all of a sudden he's at weddings in New Orleans, and he survives. Barely, by the way. Barely.
He did. He survived that. I got to get back to New Orleans. It's been a long time since I've been there. I got to have a few hurricanes.
Well, you let me know. I'll meet you there.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Josh Friedman, 560 WQAM. Thanks, my friend. All right. Yeah, that's a story that may not – there's got to be more to that, Cody, because there's no rule I guess the media is going to get it first, right? So they wouldn't know about a starting pitcher, right? I guess that would be it. But what happens if you have a change, right? What happens if, you know – because the manager could put that up there and forget about the injuries. Just say he puts it up there and this is who I want and someone tweaks, you know, something in batting practice. Like that would be the first time that's happened.
And they call that a late scratch.
It may not even be that late of a scratch, right? And maybe he's not ready to go yet. He took some swings. He's not ready to go. Right. Whatever the case is. You know, but the only thing that really matters, to be honest with you, is the pitcher, is the starting pitcher. When it comes to gambling, it's a starting pitcher.
You have managers doing like fantasy baseball, setting their lineup for an entire week in advance and just sending in like a zip file of here's all my lineups for the week.
Right. That, you know what? They may not be getting too far away from that. You got to get special approval if you change something.
Oh.
You need a doctor's note.
Mother, may I replace my third baseman?
Oh, goodness.
Right, come on.
All right, let's take a timeout. Danny Broussard will join us next. Cougars victorious yesterday. Dominated U High. A little surprising, if you ask me. Back after this, STM playing in a second straight state title game. How about Grand Arsenal and Caleb Holstein? Championship, 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 championship. It's like four straight. Back after this, 103.7, the game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Thursday morning sports chat. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline and talk to, the coach of the defending Division II state champs, and now going to play for a second straight division championship or state championship. And he's got a couple of guys that are playing in their fourth straight state championship, I think, right? Or is that where they short a couple of years ago? But Caleb Holstein and Grant Arsenal. Am I wrong on that?
Caleb's only a junior. So Grant Arsenal, Logan Rader.
But I'm talking football though as well. You mix in football.
Oh yeah. I think you're saying No, I think you're saying, Dave. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I thought you were saying basketball the last 4 years, but no, right? Yeah, right. Those guys have made it to the state finals in both basketball and football. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's pretty awesome.
Well, is Grant Arsenal actually playing like his fifth? Right? They lost. They won. They lost. Right?
I think you're right on that. I think you're right.
And now he's playing.
Basketball, he's played for 3-2, so he's been in six state championship games.
Goodness gracious! What are you going to do without him?
Dave, I tell you what, he was something else last night. I mean, look, that team had some speed, but the fastest guy on the court was Grant Arsenal. That cat was all over the place. He was coming from behind, getting steals, taking. They had two layups that he just basically took away. He just ran the guy down. But one time he knocked the ball away and it went off the guy's leg. You know how those guys go? They didn't throw a layup. It's a 2-point. Instead, he knocks the ball out. It goes off the guy's leg and it's our ball. So he made play after play last time. He was incredible on defense.
All right, how did this go?
Because
you guys had a huge lead to begin with. U High cut into it, and then I turn it back in, and it sounded like, you know, the old Arkansas teams or the old UNLV teams. It was turnover, layup, turnover, layup, turnover, layup.
Yeah. Dave, I tell you, man, it's hard to believe that if you get a team like this by 15 points, like I said, we're just playing our best basketball of the year. Our defense has been, we have these goals we set for, you know, for games. And one of them is to hold our opponents. Well, you know, it's obviously holding them under 50, but then we go for 40, you know, and that's kind of one of our big goals. And so toward the end of the game, we look at that and say, man, they have 39 points. We turn the ball over with 12 seconds to go and they get a layup to go to 41. So we kind of like, oh no, man, we can't do it. So, but can you imagine holding that team at 39 points? I mean, this is a good team. I've been averaging I don't know exactly, but they had scored in the 70s, I think, in both their playoff wins. And, you know, we hold them to 41 points. So, Dave, we've hung our hats on the defense all year long, and it was no different last night. Our defense just was tremendous. I mean, they had a hard time scoring, Dave, to be honest with you. Our half-court sets were good. We had them scouted pretty good, and we knew the guys that could score. You know, we really did a great job. I thought our guys did a great job, with the exception of about a couple of possessions where they got an open look. I mean, we pressured every shot they took. We didn't give up layups. That's been the two-time success, and we got to do it one more time.
You got De La Salle coming up. Did you play them this year or last year? Or both?
We have not played De La Salle this year. I saw them. We could have met them in the country day tournament, but we played Kip Booker T. Washington instead. So, we have not played them this year. Last year, it was 2 years ago, Dave, that we played them in the top 28. So we haven't seen them in 2 years.
All right, so we're talking to Danny Broussard, head coach of STM. They'll take on De La Salle for the state title on Saturday. You can hear all the action 2 p.m.-ish on 97.7 and 1330 a.m. The Rewind. Tell us about De La Salle.
They are an interesting team. Lots of three-point shooters. That's kind of what they do. You know, they've always kind of been that way since Paul took over. Their head coach is a former college assistant at Samford University. So, Paul was a good player when he was a high school player at De La Salle. He's now a coach. You know, he's a very good coach. That they're going to be well coached. And his philosophy is kind of it's a penetrating pitch. He likes to get it to the basket and then kick out to open threes, make you help and kick out. His son is one of the best players on the team. His son can really shoot it, gets to the rim. They have another player that's really good. Real good, like one of the best we've seen this year. So you're looking at three shooters, and the other two guys are penetrators. They're very similar to us as far as for size-wise. Dave, you're looking at pretty much, you know, it's going to be kind of five guards against four guards. You know what I mean? They're all guards. They can all shoot it. But the two and three penetrate, 30 and five are players, man. So, you know, kind of going to have to be assignment basketball, I think, in some ways. We have to make sure we locate those guys. See, last night's team, UHigh, they kind of could all score, so we really couldn't concentrate on one guy. But this team here, we're going to really have to block in on those two kids for sure because can't give them open looks, you know. They came from down four late in that game. I thought St. Louis had a great game plan. Thought they played them really good. But in the final minute and a half of that game, the Kelly kid got two open looks and knocked down both of them. They went from up four to down two. And again, you know, that's all it takes for them is two possessions, 6 points, and all of a sudden your lead evaporates, and it's exactly how they won that game last night. So kind of a team that's, you know, going to be dangerous even though you got a lead. It's never going to be safe with them just because of the way they can shoot the three.
Talking to Danny Broussard, head coach of STM, playing for a second straight state title. How sweet would this one be? You've never gone back-to-back, have you?
No, I told the guys this is going to be history making because Dave, it's kind of ironic, but in my first years of coaching in 80, we won. You know, I was only in my third year of coaching in 86, we won a state championship. In 87, we had a better team. We were even better than the 86 team. We had everybody back but two. We lost a kid named John Simpson, who was a really, really good player, and we lost Timmy Gibbons, and he was my point guard. But we had a great bench, and we had everybody a lot of coming back. We went 38-1. And, you know, it's one of those games that I'll never forget because we kind of felt like it was one of those tough calls into the game where, you know, we did blow a 5-point lead, though late we did. But it was a controversial call. There's no doubt about it. We, you know, probably should have gone to overtime. We lost by one on a free throw that should never have been called. So that would have been back-to-back in 86 and 87. And that's the closest we've come really to going back-to-back. So there's an opportunity for us to do it. And it would be, I think, with this youth of this team, it would really be a great accomplishment.
You think Sean McVay knows every play of every game. Danny Sean Broussard, McVay? The Rams coach, yeah. You're still not over something that happened almost 25 years ago?
30 years ago. That's correct.
Yeah.
No, I'm still not over. Yeah, no. Still not over.
Still not over.
No, Dave, it's funny how it is, but I can't remember things that happened yesterday. But when it comes to basketball, I can remember 37 years ago, I can tell you a play that we ran.
Right.
To win that state championship, Johnson takes a charge foul. And to take away a basket, and they made the basket, he takes a charge foul, make it away. And then Eric Mouton gets fouled and makes two free throws and win that game. So, yeah, some things I just can't forget about basketball.
How much did the depth play into it yesterday? I heard Danny and Coach talking about it, that UHigh was pretty deep as well, although you did mention they were down one key player.
Yeah. Yeah, our depth was unbelievable. Look, Dave, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, I thought we might have been in trouble because both Jaden and Carter picked up two early fouls and didn't play at all the second quarter. But man, our bench was great last night. Braylon Logan probably had his best game of the year. His defense was tremendous. He got a big steal. When we went on that 10-0 run, he got a huge steal and put back in, you know, in that run. And he also deflected a pass. Caleb Hosty was huge last night. I teased Caleb because last year he scored eight in the state championship game which, you know, was, I'm not saying it's career high for him, but, you know, Caleb's going to get you around 6 to 8 points. And that's just what he does. But last night he was unbelievable. I think he wound up with 14, somewhere in that range. But he, you know, besides Jaden scoring 18, he was our second leading scorer and just played a great game last night. So, of course, he didn't come off the bench, but he did. But Graylin Logan, Reese Melanson was huge. He had a huge three for us, you know, and they filled in that gap. Tobin Thévenot has been big for us all year long. Bryce Bouillon gave us some minutes. So, yeah, our bench was big when we got in foul trouble. Oh, and we had three starters out because Logan Rader also had two fouls. So in the last 3 minutes of that first half, we had three starters out with each. Because I'm just kind of one of those guys that play the percentages. When they get two fouls, they're not going to play
right, in the
first half. I'm saving for the second half. You know, that's just how I do it.
Got it. Yeah. All right, Danny Broussard, yeah. STM, plays for the title on Saturday. Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Appreciate you being with us all year long. And now, hey, let's talk about a state championship next Thursday, huh?
You got it.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
You bet. Back after this, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Thursday morning sports chat. Thanks to our guests, Gerald Grunig, Josh Freeman, and Danny Broussard. You'll be able to catch those all on the podcast, if you will, on demand. And hour number two, it all worked out that all the guests were coming on then. See if we get our guy Noah Kozlov. We didn't talk Pelicans yet. We'll do that in a little bit. They come up short against Utah, but it is ridiculous. We were talking about Trey Waters plus minus. The game was tied at 35 when AD came back on the court. And then they're down by 16. He goes off the court. Not good. Not good at all. All right. And if LeBron James is going to sit down and miss some ball games, AD can sit down and miss some ball games. I still want the sixth pick in the draft, or the sixth spot in the lottery. And I don't think, because the Grizzlies actually won the other day, I don't think they're more than three games back. It had been four of Memphis. Let's see where we are. 19.5, and Memphis is 23. So they're only 3.5 games back of Memphis. And that's as good as they're going to get. They're a game and a half ahead of the Wizards. They're a game and a half ahead of the Mavericks. They can easily finish seventh. And if they can go get John Morant, that would work out pretty well. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios. We'll do Pelicans a little bit later, but let's talk about that LSU basketball game, Cody. You got any highlights? What highlights do you got for LSU? Give me some highlights.
Pass to Johnson. Drives. Had the ball stripped by Skylar Mays. Mays pushing the issue down the floor, goes up, layup, good! Put it up with the right hand from the left side, got it off the glass, and we're tied 41-all.
Really a nice move by Skylar Mays. Turn them over, go down the floor quickly, create a basket off a turnover.
Sky now has 6 points in tonight's game. Inbounds, it comes to Mays. Now to Waters, 4 seconds. Waters driving down the lane, goes up and under, layup, good! With 0.5 seconds, we're tied 72-72. Inbounds to Johnson, and for the second time this year, as the horn sounds, free basketball here in Gainesville.
What?
Reed, double.
Play that one again.
Inbounds, it comes to Mays. Now to Waters, 4 seconds. Waters driving down the lane, goes up and under. Layup, good! With 0.5 seconds, we're tied 72-72. Inbounds to Johnson, and for the second time this year, as the horn sounds, free basketball here in Gainesville.
I'm missing. What's he saying?
He meant they went to overtime the first time they played Florida and lost, but he said second time in Gainesville.
Oh, okay.
So that right. so right. it's the second time against Florida.
Against Florida. Okay.
First time right. in right. Gainesville.
That's what I thought. I thought. How many overtime games have they been to?
I think this was number six.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
or maybe seven, I thought.
So Chris Blair, a little slip up with overtime is gets confusing.
Need a comma in there.
Right.
Second time against Florida. Here in Gainesville, we go to overtime.
Correct, yeah, correct. Yeah. And then we've got the big three-pointer from Waters in OT.
Okay.
Reed, double team, skip pass, over to Waters, three ball. Yes! Tremont Waters makes it 77-72 LSU. He now has 19.
Big shot by Tremont, but a nice feed, nice patient feed out of the double team by Nas Reed on the cross-court pass.
So these highlights are cut up by LSU.
Yes, sir.
Do we not have the last play of the game?
They don't have the last play of the game.
Can we find that on maybe the Mickey Mouse Network?
Why
do they not have the last play of the game?
I keep saying Tennessee, where Florida doesn't get a shot off.
That's right. I got guys, you know, one of the guys from Jacksonville is a Gator. He's like, why, you know, one guy's got to shoot it. The other guy didn't shoot it until there was minus 2 seconds, you know. How do you not get a shot off? I know one guy slipped, but I can't pass it to a third guy. There was, 7.5, 8 seconds left? I got to shoot.
I will say, though, in this, the highlight we heard at the end reminded me of it because they were talking about the feed from Nas Reed to Waters for the three.
Right.
And they did point out Nas Reed had to come out of the game because he had a busted lip for that last possession.
Yes.
But before that, they had pointed out that, for the last, 8 minutes of the game or something, every possession, Nas Reed touched the ball on that end of the court.
And they were wrong on where he got the bloody lip.
It hit. It was off his own player. It was a big
knee. It was a knee. It was not the elbow.
He put his head back to get away from the first one.
Right, then
turned, and then he... And I thought I saw that, too.
No, he got the knee. Yeah.
I thought I saw that, too.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I thought I got the calls right yesterday. The ball that went off of Nas Reed, that went off of Nas Reed. The ball that went off of Florida, went off two balls went out of Florida that were reviewed, that were clear. And the reviews did not take very long yesterday, so that was good. That was good.
And they got them all right, which is the point.
I think they did. And that goaltending, where did they think of the goaltending? They think the ball was coming down or hit the backboard? It didn't either.
Exactly. If you do like they do in football where they take the two angles and they kind of synchronize them together.
Which is not reviewable anyways, but go ahead.
But you could see from that one angle from behind the backboard, the ball never touched the backboard.
Right.
And then you could see from the angle from the top of the key, so to speak, that camera angle, you could see the ball still rotating up. Almost, I don't want to be a homer, but it almost looked like it didn't even reach its peak yet.
Right.
You know?
So just to be clear, in the NBA, once the ball hits the backboard, if it's still going up, you can hit the ball.
It bounces up off the backboard in the NBA?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. In college, once it hits the backboard, you can't touch the basketball.
Today I learned.
Right. The net rating's still not out. LSU was 13 going into this ball game. I don't know how much it's going to help in Florida win on the road. In the net ratings, I don't know how that's actually figured out. But they got to be considered Final Four material. And if they win the SEC championship, are they going to get screwed by not getting a number one seed? I mean, you're not going to give Duke and Virginia a number one seed, right? One of those teams ain't getting a number one seed. Kentucky and Tennessee both aren't getting a number one seed. So that's two. Gonzaga's going to get a number one seed, all right? That's three. Then who else? Houston? Carolina? Michigan State? Michigan? No, I don't think so. Kansas? Kansas is not getting a number one seed. They got eight losses. And they're nowhere here on this net list. They're at 18, by the way. That's barely a five seed, by the way, for Kansas. LSU is 13. That's still a four seed. But here's the sad thing, Cody. They got to blow out Vanderbilt, which is embarrassing, right? Because you're going to want some guys to play. You want a big lead, and then you're going to want some guys to play who haven't played before. Right? Did you see the Tennessee ball game I think the other day, some, you know, fifth-year senior, you know, I don't know about walk-on, but some guy at the end of the bench comes in and hits a three, and the coach, the players were going nuts.
Right.
Right? Just like Cal State Fullerton, manager, a team manager, got the okay to play.
They gave him a jersey.
And got an and one.
Ah, count it.
And one. I don't know if he made the free throw, but
doesn't
he got
matter.
And one.
Atta boy.
The players were going nuts, right? And this was only like a, I mean, it was a 10-point game, but it was like, you know, 20 seconds left to go.
I mean, these are things that the closest we're ever going to get to Bobby Boucher in real life.
Well, Bobby Boucher was an All-American.
But we're never going to get a water boy to All-American. This is the closest we're ever going to get is that and one bucket from the manager with 20 seconds left.
We'll see where LSU goes. I think they should be number one. They win that. They beat Vanderbilt by, say, 15, right? Should beat them by 15. They probably should beat them by 25. We'll just say 15, all right?
They should have beat Florida by 10.
They should have beat Florida by a lot more the way the first half ended. But the way the second half went, I mean, we haven't even gone over this. They were down 8 points.
At one point, yeah.
They went on a 10-0 run. It's one thing to go on a 10-0 run. It's another thing to do it in a minute and a half. It took them 1 minute and 37 seconds to go on a 10-0 run. That's like NBA-esque.
Right.
You don't see that very much. And then I think Florida tied it up right after that. They were down 50. They were down 62-54. And all of a sudden, it's 64-62.
Yeah, that run, I believe, it ended with a Javonte Smart three-pointer that was way off the mark. And then it was like two offensive rebounds, and it was the second putback ended up being an and one. And Javonte Smart, and he's coming, and he's chest bumping everybody, right, and smiling because he's like, yeah, good job, guys. Well done.
And did you hear that? Did you hear that they were talking about it? You were listening to the game?
Yeah, on TV.
All right.
Yeah.
They were talking about something that I don't particularly like is when Trey Waters just kind of goes up for a layup, not really thinking he's going to make it. But just put it up on the offensive board. He goes, sometimes that's their best play. No!
They said, your best, sometimes your best offense is a missed shot. Those words came. Sometimes your best offense is a missed shot.
I understand that's a...
I know what you're trying to say, but just say they're good on the offensive boards.
That's a benefit of the players that you have.
Right.
But that should not be an offensive play.
Coach Wade drawing it up. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to miss the short-range jumper, and then we're going to go up and put it back.
It's much different at the end of a ball game type of deal, right, because everyone's spread out, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of help, and people are paying attention to the ball, all right, and not their man. And that's how they get the win at Kentucky. Whereas you do that with, like, 6 minutes left to go, I mean, what are you going to – I mean, you're going to get over the top? No. Right. Jake from State Farm says Wade tells him to do it. I still don't like it, right? Wade was the one who allowed him to have an open three at the end of the ball game too, which I don't mean the 1-3-1. I don't have a problem with that. I mind that it wasn't shaded towards Hudson. If someone else gets a three-pointer, you got it. If someone else gets a layup, okay. A layup, I could still win the game with a layup. Now I got to get a layup and tie the game up. I don't like those. I don't mind the three-pointers that they were taking. They were just missing them. Did they take a lot of bad three-pointers? Did Javonte Smart? Someone got blocked on a three-pointer.
Oh, he got swatted, yeah.
Someone got blocked on a
Skylar
three-pointer.
Mays or Smart.
I thought Skylar Mays was, you know, open in the corner. Trey Waters was open. For the most part, the threes were open shots. They weren't bad shots. They just weren't going in. I mean, going in at their usual clip, about 32%, 6-19.
And late in the game and in overtime, there were a few threes that you needed, like you said, guys, extra pass, right, guys wide open, whether it's in the corner. Or
they had like a 5-point lead twice in the overtime, and they got a little bit fortunate.
And then I was worried at the end of the first half. The first half ended, LSU was up by like 8 or 10, and then all of a sudden it was like a 4-point game at halftime. So
Jake from State Farm saying Wade didn't want a layup, so he went zone, and they went like 1-3-1 trap, and they left a guy open who was hot. It's all get out open, all right? If it's a layup, Cody, it's a 1-point game. I win with a bucket.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, play your card and see what the other guy has.
Even if the other guy makes it, right? That's why you just shade the defense, right? We're going to, it's almost like a boxing one, if you will, right? We're just play over there, play towards Hudson, right? Shade a little bit towards Hudson, right? So someone's there and he's not going to shoot it. Or if he goes past you and pulls up, okay.
Right.
But I would not have given up the shot to him. Anybody else, you can, I understand.
On that right. night, in that, that game?
Right. Yeah. Yes, yes, that's making adjustments. Again, the guy, I think, scored more in the second half than he did in any game this year. He's averaging, I think he's averaging less than 9 points a game. He had 33.
Didn't senior night weird?
Was that the ball game? Oh, there was another game. Oh, it was Texas Tech. Did you see this? There's a player from Texas Tech who's from the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. Hadn't seen his mother in 2 years. She shows up at practice.
Oh.
Somehow the school helped out with the visa, right? I don't even care if they helped out with getting her there, but...
Right.
How do you go from the Dominican Republic to Lubbock, Texas? Yeesh.
I mean, Darcy Malone played at LSU from Australia.
Right, right. Well, we know how that happened.
Right.
We know how that happened.
But you're right. Right. I mean,
that's a David Patrick thing, right?
Right. He's got that. Well, he had the connection with
right. the Ben
his family. Yes. Yeah.
But you should have seen the kid.
Oh,
at practice, just balling.
It was like when you see those military videos.
Yes.
When mom and dad comes home and surprises the kid.
Right.
Oh,
Chris
man.
Beard. Is it Chris Beard? Right. The former Little Rock coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now is Texas Tech gonna, you know, be a top four seed in the NCAAs? You know, showed who was coming down, and he just started bawling.
Done.
And they all cover up their face because they don't want anybody to see them crying. Right. Hadn't seen his mother for 2 years. I'm crying.
You're allowed to cry, sir.
It's a thing when I don't cry when I leave home.
Yeah.
I always cry when I leave home.
That's tough. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Let's talk Pelicans. On Acadiana Sports State, Jake from Sterry Farms getting a lot of run this morning. 33, by the way. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. I made a funny yesterday, Cody. Tua from Alabama was measured. Apparently, he didn't go to the, you know, well, I guess he can't go to the pro day. Go to the combine yet. Listed at 6'2", 230, which is pretty solid. Hand 10 1/8, arm is 30 6/8. But I replied, 6 foot with the afro 6'3". It's a line from Fletch. Fletch 6'5" with the afro 6'9". Got Chick Hearn to do it, by the way. Because you can see the picture, and you can't tell where the head ends and the hair begins. So it's got a little love on the Twitterverse. Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl tweeted it out. Oh, Senior Junior Pro Day. Tuscaloosa, a favorite stop for NFL scouts because of the openness and the talent. And that's pretty good size for Tua, 6'2", 230. Compare that to Kyler Murray. And there's rumors that Kyler Murray really isn't 5'10 and whatever, 5'10 and 8. They're thinking he's shorter. He's faking it at the combine. I don't get it. Is that a conspiracy at Black Helicopters, Cody? The NFL wants Kyler Murray, so they made him over 5'10"?
They used a special measuring tape for him or something, right? I mean, come on.
Wasn't there a – was it Archel Hawkins? Somebody said that he put clay in his shoes and did something with his gloves with his hands. I don't know. He faked it somehow.
I mean, oh, where there's a will, there's a way to try.
Right, but aren't you in your bare feet?
I would assume that's how you get your proper measurement.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much so. 706-0111, 706-0111. What do you guys think of LSU basketball? Also, who is your favorite game show host? And again, Pat Sajak not getting a lot of love. I'm not quite sure about that. Alex Trebek announced that he had pancreatic cancer yesterday. Stage 4, 20% for Alex, none for Pat Sajak. Bob Barker getting the 60%, only 20% telling me to shut up. We did have some replies. Mark Summers is on the list, and Brad Newell getting in on it. Shut up, Dave. All right, telling me. I don't remember this episode, Cody. He says, mine is Vanna White. She is officially the co-host. Fair enough. Played Al Bundy's ex-girlfriend in an episode of Married with Children. I don't remember that episode. And I was a Married with Children guy.
Only reason I can even try to say I vague because I did look up Google image searched it.
Sure.
And so I recognize maybe some screenshots from that episode, but I can't say that I could tell you anything about it.
No.
And then Mark Summers, he was that guy. He was a Nickelodeon
right?
Game show host.
Sure.
And he was so good that, you know, he did Double Dare originally,
right,
and then now they've brought back Double Dare. It's now hosted by a girl who got YouTube famous. She got real popular on YouTube, and now Nickelodeon's hired her.
Okay.
And that's who hosts it. And Mark Summers is now the guy to tell them what they won, Mark. Oh, well, they won a backyard patio set from such and such. Like, he's now that guy. Where they
he's
go,
the voice guy.
Yeah, well, you know, but they still do it, like, quote-unquote old-school style. He still stands at a little desk right off to the side, and, like, you know, she points to him, and the camera pans to Mark Summers with, he's looking like a silver fox these days, too, Dave. I gotta say that.
Oh, there
Mark
you go.
Summers.
All right.
And he does it now. Oh, well, Liza, let me tell you. And he goes into the whole spiel. And
it's pretty good.
So they brought him back for the reincarnation of Double Dare, because it just wouldn't be Double Dare without
Mark Summers.
Tell him
what he's won, Johnny.
It's exactly that guy. Right. And then lesser known Nickelodeon, like Mike O'Malley.
Sure.
Guts.
Sure.
Tell him the rules, Mo.
Right.
And they cut to Mo, and she was from like Australia or something, explain the rules.
Again, things that I saw over the weekend. This is crazy. All right. First of all, where is, let's see here, I got to Google it, Major Dick Winters, because I was watching, to quickly switch the subject, Band of Brothers again.
Right.
All right. And so that story's about him in the 101st Airborne, but it was played by Damian Lewis. And Damian Lewis is English. All right. The guy from Billions. All right. Sergeant John Martin in that movie, in that miniseries, is also English. And we were talking about how Tim Van Patten is directing or has directed the first two episodes of Game of Thrones. John Martin is directing Rocket Man this summer. Or the guy who did it. Let me see. Sergeant. We got to do Sergeant. Sergeant John Martin, actor. Let me see if it comes up here. I don't think so. John Marquez, we'll find out. Oh, Sergeant John Martin, fandom. Let's see if it says who it was played by. No, it doesn't say. Got to go through it. All right, anyways. And then again, we've talked about this doc. The guy who played Doc, the medic, was from Louisiana and lived his life in Lafayette after the war.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Doc Rowe, I think his name was. Yeah. Yeah, the guy who played John Martin. Oh, Dexter Fletcher. Dexter Fletcher directing Rocket Man, the Elton John movie. Crazy.
We're talking movies.
Crazy. And he's English, too. Do we have any Americans who were acted in the World War II movie? And you couldn't. I didn't know Damian Lewis was English until he was on a TV show. And I certainly didn't know John Martin was. These two guys did an American accent pretty easily.
And Spider-Man, the same. Not a World War II movie, but Spider-Man, also English.
Oh, there you go.
Tom Holland.
Oh, all right. All right.
And we're talking movies. Be remiss to not say Captain Marvel this Friday.
Oh. So
get ready for that.
Right. A little bit different twist on that.
What do you mean?
Who's the lead?
It's a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's it? It's a big thing.
Slightly different twist.
Yeah.
All right, and Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, sir.
All right, 103.7, The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Thursday morning sports chat. Remember, today, a little bit different programming. We'll get LSU women's basketball against Tennessee in the SEC tournament, an 8-9 matchup. And basically, people are saying, and when I say people, Scott Rebley from The Advocate, the winner of this will go further on in the postseason, not only into the next round, but maybe into the NIT or the NCAA. Otherwise, it could be the end of the road. We will join Jim Rome in progress.
A far cry from Sylvia Fowles, Simone Augustus, and Candace Parker.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I hear LSU Tennessee, and I think that. And
right.
But that's not,
right.
No. Not what we're getting.
No, no.
Not what
no,
we're
no,
getting.
No, no, no. So we got Sport of Politics after this, then the wrap game with RP3, LSU basketball. I think it's the first game of the day, so it won't start late. We're going to take it right at tip, so 11 o'clock-ish. Well, we'll start our coverage at 11, and they'll tip it right after that. And the Jim Rome Show, joined in progress until 2, and then who comes up after that?
Jordy Holberg.
Featuring?
Jordy Holberg.
Yeah, it's the Jordy Holberg Show featuring Jordy Holberg. And then Bumper to Bumper Sports live at the Tap Room. And then Astroline. Nice. Later tonight as well.
When I was driving on the Tennessee campus a couple weeks ago or whatever, right when you first drive on campus is that big Pat Summitt statue.
Yeah.
I forgot when we drove on the campus. I was like, oh, Kaylee. look at that. And she was like, who's that? And I was like, it's easier for you to read than for me to explain it to you. Because behind the statue, it's got her accolades and her career. I was just like, just read that. And she was like, whoa. And I was like, yes, whoa.
Yep. All right. Lakers take it on the chin last night, although LeBron does pass Michael Jordan for fourth all time scoring-wise. Nuggets beat the Lakers 115-99. New Orleans would have one more win if they were able to get it last night. They both have the same amount of wins, which I believe is 30. And but I think the Pelicans are down to 37 losses, which is two more than the Lakers. But again, the same deal. Plays the same 21 minutes. 21 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists for Anthony Davis. Comes back into the ballgame tied at 35. Leaves down like 76-60. Julius Randle, strong ball game, 23. Alfred only had 7. He had a minus 20 on the stat line. Not good. That's not good. Though he did have, how about that one, leads the team in rebounds. Is that a problem when Alfred Payton is leading the team in rebounds?
I guess Anthony Davis only played 20, but even
but
still.
But where's Julius Randle?
Yeah, I'm about to say, even still. Right? No, you're right.
You know, Cheick Diallo played 10 minutes. He had 5, not as efficient, and no points, which is more along the lines of a Cheick Diallo line. Frankie Jackson, 13 points, 28 minutes. Jrue Holiday, only 16. He kind of had the off night. 16 points, 8 of 17 shooting. They could not stop Favors or Gobert. Gobert, 10 of 12 from the floor. Goodness gracious. He had 22 points and 13 rebounds. Joe Ingles, who is always a tough matchup for the Pelicans anyways, 10 points, 10 assists. Favors, 25 points. Sheesh. And Donovan Mitchell had 22 points. Now, fun game for the Pelicans fans to watch, but they came up short. Do we think that Alvin Gentry is going to be the coach again, Cody? Because they've been playing well and playing hard. He certainly hasn't lost the team.
I think the issue is, and we've heard other people say this before,
right.
The whoever's replacing Dell Demps is going to want.
He's going to want his guy.
And I know that's the normal answer, but that is the feeling. But it speaks a lot. Alvin Gentry should get hired somewhere else.
He's going to be considered, though, right? You would think so, right? I mean, wouldn't you start with this guy?
You
see what the, you know, what they've been dealing with, and he's been professional, I think, you know, one time.
You owe him that, right? Yeah.
Just a little bit, I think so.
At least
also, people said he's going to be sticking around in the organization because they're not going to pay him to go away.
Right.
And he's not going to be like he's unemployed.
But regardless, I think Alvin Gentry's, if he wants to continue to be a head coach in the NBA, I think he can, even if it's with the Pelicans or not, because the team is playing hard. Like you said, he hasn't lost the team. So even if the Pelicans, their new front office finds a new head coach, Alvin Gentry should land somewhere.
Right. We'll see. Is he?
I just say that because he has, because in the situation that he's in, he's handling it pretty well.
Yeah.
He's burping into microphones and he's keeping, keeping the guys that he has, that he knows are on his team. They're playing hard, which, I mean, every coach has their guys playing hard, but they're competing on top of that maybe. I don't know. I think he's done a very good job at handling a.
He's 64 years of age.
Oh, he's old. I would have lost that bet. I would not have guessed he was 64.
How old would you have said?
I'd have maybe
played
said
at App
like,
State, as it turns out.
I'd have maybe said like 55, like mid-50s or something.
How about this one? Played college basketball at App State, where his point guard, wait for it, under Presmarovich.
Huh. Is that his dad?
That's the dad.
The dad. There you go.
And then Bobby Kremins. Yeah, that's him. Pitar. With an A-R.
Oh, Pitar.
Pitar. Presmarovich.
Press because of defense.
You tell me.
I don't know. I'm just press and basketball. I can only make one connection.
No, he received the nickname, according to Wikipedia.
Right.
Take that for what it's worth.
This is empirical fact.
He received the nickname Press as a boy when one of his jobs was selling at the Pittsburgh Press on the streets of his hometown of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's a cooler story than mine.
Right. Is that Joe Namath? Aliquippa? Notable people. Nope. Mike Ditka, Tony Dorsett,
really good at football.
Ty Law.
They're really good at football.
Anybody else?
Are they all in the Hall of
Fame? Terry Francona? Or Tito Francona? That may be the dad.
Well, if the dad's from there, the son's...
Tito, this is the kid. Terry Francona.
Terry, as we know. He's manager of the Indians now, right?
And then, obviously, if Press Maravich is from there...
Pistol Pete.
Pete Maravich is from there.
At least by proxy.
Right. Doc Medit. How many people... Paul Polozny was there. Daryl Revis is from there. Jeez.
They're really, really, really good. What's the name of the
Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
So the all Aliquippa team
you got
is hella good.
You got a tough time coming up with that, right? My goodness. Ditka Hall of Famer. Dorsett Hall of Famer.
Ty Law, right?
Ty Law Hall of Famer to be. Sean Gilbert, not in the Hall of Fame, but had a pretty good career.
God, Darrell Revis.
Darrell Revis will be a Hall of Famer, sure. I mean, he's the best corner of the day, right?
For at least five seasons, right?
Probably more than that.
Right? Yeah. Revis Island was a real thing when it was real.
That's right. That's crazy. I was going to say...
Aliquippa. No. Look out. I'm going to move to Aliquippa and have a kid. your percentage chances have to go up. Who's the head coach of Aliquippa High School? Like, we need to know this guy.
Population in the 50. Population has never been big. It was the most 26,369 after the 1960 census. It's now less than 10,000.
Wow. And I mean, some of those are modern names. It's not like the town has been away for 50 years. I mean, that's impressive.
Well, some are modern, some are not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. It spans a lot.
Revis is. Paul Poslozny is, right? Did he play at Penn State?
I don't recognize that name.
And he played for the Bills.
Okay.
Penn State, yeah. No, that's crazy.
That's fun fact of the day.
Only at Sports Check can we get to Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
I don't even know how we got there.
See, Alan Michael, if he was still here.
Oh, Press Maravich, yeah.
He'd be schooling us on
that's
all
right.
That's going on.
That's exactly right. Started out with, is Alvin Gentry going to be the coach next year? And we found out that he played under Press Maravich. And we clicked Press Maravich, and we found out he's from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania.
And there's something in the water in Aliquippa,
apparently,
Pennsylvania.
Apparently there is. Yes, there is. Very much so. All right, so we'll see. We'll see what happens there. They're still playing well. The New Orleans Pelicans. We forgot to tell Danny Broussard. Fun fact of the day: you know who went to De La Salle High School, Cody?
Jordy Holtberg.
Featuring Jordy Holtberg.
Yeah, he was. The blossoming of the blonde bomber,
right?
At De La Salle.
That's right. Did anybody else shoot the ball when he was there? Is that where he got the nickname?
I would imagine it had to have started in high school, right?
Was he the point guard?
I
presume that
probably
he
best player on the team. I would think.
Did he have any assists?
It's like kicking and screaming. Pass the ball to the Italians. Pass the ball to Jordy Holtberg. I don't know why I knew that, but I feel like in a rejoin or something maybe of his.
All right.
Somewhere along the way throughout this job, I heard that.
Right.
He
so big STM De La Salle ball game.
We had a couple kids from De La Salle after Katrina moved to New Roads and go to Catholic for
few
months.
All right.
A couple of Brother Martin kids as well. Some of them, like two of them stayed. Like Chalmette, a couple of people stayed from there, but then most of them went back. But I've met a couple of kids that went to De La Salle and stuff. And
all right. Nice.
New Orleans City schools coming to New Roads, little back roads school. They laughed at us a lot. They were like, so we do what now? And I'm like, well, you walk to the lunchroom. And they're like, well, wait, we can walk? We have to like stay on campus for lunch and do this? No. And I'm like, yeah, we're hanging. There's only like 50 of us. We can't leave.
Really?
And they're used to, De La Salle's a big school.
We could leave. Juniors and seniors could leave. Maybe I don't know about juniors. We did.
Senior year,
we could leave.
Not for lunch, but
for lunch.
I was on yearbook. I was smart. I didn't. You either did yearbook or you rebuilt computers for like the broken classrooms. Right. So I did yearbook because that's what all the girls did.
Was there any cow milking jokes or anything like that?
Cow milking?
I don't know. Do you have to milk cows out there?
You do, but I don't.
Oh, all right. What about at school? That's not an elective?
No. Farming is not part of the curriculum in New Roads, Dave. No.
Why not?
It probably should be.
Farming all different kinds of things.
Oh, God. See, now I feel like you're making fun of me, not so much New Roads anymore.
You don't have Moonshine 101?
I'll make you laugh. We only have, and it's not even a moonshine. It's a cream-based liquor we bought. It's like a dark chocolate coffee.
Sure.
Cream-based one. Right. Mardi Gras has come and gone. We're out of moonshine.
Oh.
Tennessee, it didn't make it past Mardi Gras.
How long does it take to make more?
A trip to Walmart, you can get the old Smoky brand.
All right. All right, keep on voting at Dave 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game on the Twitterverse. Who is your favorite game show host? Maybe we should have done game shows. All right, back after this, we put a bow on it. 1037 The Game. Bob chirped in with his favorite game show host, Chuck Barris. Chuck Barris, not Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry, Gong Show, or I confused that. Chuck Berry is Joker's Wild and 21 with the scandal and everything like that. Fixing the questions. Or the answers, anyways. Chuck Barris was Gong Show. Apparently, he came up with the dating game. But he was also a CIA agent, allegedly. At least in his own mind. I don't know if that's true or not.
Alfonso Ribeiro hosted like the reboot of 21.
Right. Did you see Alfonso Ribeiro, what he was in? It's in a Pepsi commercial with Michael Jackson.
No.
And the Jackson 5.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And that whole Michael Jackson thing is creepy. I'm not even.
I know he's suing Fortnite.
He is suing Fortnite for his.
For the dance.
Yeah, yeah. He'll win that.
Oh, yeah. They're settled, whatever the case is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the point of that, right? Just the lawyers. Yay! Now we'll just change the dance. Or we'll pay you for the right to use a dance.
Right. And Fortnite's got enough money, I'm sure they'll...
Yes, they can find the cash.
And I'm sure Alfonso Ribeiro, he's popped up enough and done enough things throughout his career that
he's still doing Hosting American Funniest Videos, which is amazingly, that's still on there. Are they redoing the same videos from like 25 years
right,
ago?
Right. They just dub out Bob Saget's voice.
We used to watch that in college.
They're still giving away $10,000, man.
Do they?
$10,000. It's like
every night?
It's like a season now.
Oh, okay.
It's like they give away a small prize every night, like $1,000 maybe or something.
All right.
But then every season, for sure, there's the big $10,000 AFV winner.
All right. Well, as that turns out, by the way, you can go to 1037thegame.com. You can register for, how about this, the Pete's $1 million March Bracket Challenge. You get a perfect bracket. $1 million. If you get the best bracket, you get $1,000. Hey, $1,000 is $1,000. I could use $1,000. If you get a perfect bracket, has anybody gotten this? Has anybody won this anywhere? Warren Buffett and such?
I don't think so. There was that one guy, this has been years ago now, who had his like Elite Eight perfect or something.
Oh, really?
And that was the year UAB beat LSU in the first round. It was the Blazers, right?
UAB. Sure.
And he picked UAB to make it to like the Elite Eight or something.
Right.
Thinking it was the Crimson Tide, not University of Alabama, Birmingham. He just was picking, like, he didn't even, and got it right and had like the, and I remember he got a feature on like SportsCenter or something too. But,
right. Okay.
And then I think his bracket fell apart after that. But
all right.
I say fell apart when you're perfect to the Elite Eight.
Right.
Yeah, as long as when I get that, usually the first day of the first weekend.
I'm happy if I got 12 out of 16 teams.
That's what I'm looking at, yeah.
Anything better than that, you're doing pretty good.
Exactly.
I just got an email. I got a package coming today, UPS. You can now follow the truck. Is that customer service? Estimated delivery time, 2:45 to 6:45.
Oh, so it's like when the cable guy.
It's like
coming.
The cable guy. Yeah, yeah. But it says on the road in your area, almost there. I guess that's pretty good.
It sounds like when you order like Domino's online,
right?
It's like received, prepping, baking, on its way, delivered. Like, thank you for the pizza tracker, Domino's.
All in 30 minutes.
That's what they claim.
When do you start getting? Well, they did.
Do you remember that? What can you do? What can you do with 30 minutes?
Well, when do you start to get nervous if Domino's is not there?
We ordered Domino's one night because we got wings. We really wanted wings on our honeymoon.
Going all out, Cody.
All right, tell me about it. Right, but like in the mountain, we were a little, you know. But in the mountains, I was like, I'm gonna get the thing itself said 45 minutes. I was like, if they're not here in like an hour 15, I'll maybe start being a little worried. Like, even though it said 45 minutes, I'm thinking, we're in the mountains. It's dark. I'm not going to rush this person Right, you know what I mean?
How long did it take?
Really, about 45 minutes. So they handled it. Okay. So they knew it. I mean,
they had 45
home
minutes.
Field advantage.
If they say 45 minutes, I'd probably give them an hour.
That's kind of where I was at. So give or take a little bit. I was there.
Especially if, like you said, it's in the mountains. I'm just making sure that everything's okay.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I wasn't rushing anyone to bring me my pizza.
No, it's kind of like, you guys have the order? Because that was a job of mine, you know, answering the phones for Pizza Hut.
Yeah, this is before they had the online ease
deal. Yeah, way back. Online, what was that?
Hold on, let me chisel your large pepperoni into stone.
AOL stuff. But sometimes you get busy on a Friday or Saturday night, and you know what? The order gets missed. Whatever happens, the order gets missed. So you give them some free pizza, whatever. It's not a big deal. But they call up, and nope, it's on the way. Right? Sorry, I mean, because we tell you, you know, if you call at 7 p.m. on a Friday, it's going to be an hour. Plan on it.
Yeah, even in New Roads, it's at 7 p.m. on a Friday. It's going to take a minute. There's only one Pizza Hut.
Right. So we're telling you, you know, and then it's one of those, you know, under-promise, over-deliver deals. So if it takes 45 minutes instead of an hour, but people would call up and, nope, we missed. Sorry. You got to track it down and whatever. So those things do happen. All right. Oh, new scheduled delivery time. My second UPS. How many times do I need this? Let's see here. Unless it's a different package. Oh, it doesn't say. Oh, Thursday, end of the day, 3 p.m. All right, estimated delivery time. UPS, good customer service. All right, what can Brown do for you? all right, Gerald Grunig, want to thank him. Thanks to Josh Friedman, Danny Broussard. Again, we will have the STM De La Salle game on Tuesday on 97.7. The Rewind. And 13:30 a.m. Although technically we guess we could have it over here. We don't have a, you know. We don't have a baseball game that LSU wants to play, so probably just keep it where it was. Also today coming up at 11, LSU women's basketball, taking on Tennessee. All right. And we'll get it right at the tip off, sport of politics coming up here 9 to 10. All right. And then you got the, Robideau report next week. That's a good shindig. Also, you know, food and drink, rap game with RP3 at 10. What's he call it?
The Fast and Furious edition.
The Fast and Furious edition. All right. Jim Rome will be joined in progress after the LSU basketball game. Then it's the Jordy Holberg Show featuring, you know,
Jordy Holberg. Dang it.
De La Salle graduate, Jordy Holberg.
I was trying to stereo with you, but then you went with the De La Salle.
I was going with the De La Salle. Then Bumper to Bumper Sports live at the Tap Room. A little BLT. A little Bumper to Bumper Sports at River Ranch. Astro Line tonight, 7 p.m. And then we got all the LSU baseball games, except Saturday. We'll have the LSU basketball game. Pregame, odd time, 7:30 tip-off, 7 p.m. pregame show. All right, and then, of course, LSU baseball coming back Sunday at noon, and we'll have it 11:30 a.m. All right, thanks to Cody for doing a good job outside of the Gerald Grunig call. Drop the ball on that one. All right, no one interrupts Schultz in the middle of a rant. No one puts baby in a corner. No one interrupts Schultz during a rant. Remember that. All right. Thank you for tuning in. All right. We'll be back again tomorrow with a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Keep it live and local all day long here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7, The Game.